This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right, welcome back. Bringing in Glenn Davis every morning at 8 o'clock to talk about the World Cup, and here he is once again. He called the game yesterday in Houston, and I got to tell you, Glenn, these two were denigrating the great name of Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, because I'm a fan. I'm a Cristiano Ronaldo fan, and they were denigrating, and here he steps up, two goals, selflessly allows a teammate to score another instead of going for the hat trick. One of the great players
stayed in the game. Went for the hat trick.
If not the greatest player in the game.
Stayed in for the full 96. Look for the hat trick.
These two just are ridiculous. Your take on what Cristiano Ronaldo did yesterday.
Okay, so we all know he's a polarizing figure. We also know he's one of the most recognized human beings on the planet, which factors into all of this. We also know he's a legendary soccer player. Nobody's ever taking away what this man has done in the game. And you're not playing at 41 unless you're incredibly disciplined, you take care of yourself, and you respect the sport. Now, that said, well, there is a side of him that people might think is selfish. So we went from the first game where he didn't move out of the penalty area, didn't really do anything, didn't have a clear chance, have the support of his teammates, and it ends in a 0-0 draw against Congo. Then yesterday, they get Uzbekistan, the weakest team in the group. I think we have to remind people that. I knew he was going to score yesterday. That's just typical Ronaldo. And it was pretty iconic and unbelievable. Forget about the opposition. The fact that he scored these two goals, he's mouthing into the camera, I'm back. I was kind of like, well, I thought you said the other day you hadn't left yet, but whatever. I have immense respect for the guy. This might be a Band-Aid until we see them get a competitive team, and they're going to get a competitive team in their next game, Colombia. But as far as the moment and the day, incredible at Houston Stadium. Because the whole stadium was filled with people there to see Ronaldo. I'm not even sure, first and foremost, they're there to see Portugal. In fact, there was a young lady, I was walking out with her boyfriend, and she had this giant hat that was all Portugal and all in Portugal colors and everything. So I'm figuring she's from Portugal. And I said, well, what'd you think of it? Where are you guys from? What part of Portugal? Oh, we're from Honduras.
Wow.
So there's this theory, and it makes a lot of sense, because he's such a popular athlete, and it's the age of technology, and I think he's the most followed person in the world on Instagram. There's this theory that there's a lot of people there just to see him, and they're wearing his Portugal jersey, yet they're not actually from Portugal. So that's just kind of my take on it, but it was exciting. Look, the reason he got more opportunities yesterday is what we talked about on my way to the stadium. They got more width. They spread out Uzbekistan. This was always going to be a big challenge for them. They got a wide game. Their vaunted midfield of Vitinha and João Neves and Bruno all came to the party, so it was great.
It was a really great atmosphere yesterday, and I got to take it in and was able to sit with Kaká and talk to his brother. I talked to his brother a lot, who was his agent and also played a little bit of soccer. And we were talking about the dynamic of Cristiano Ronaldo before the match, and he said something very similar, Glenn. He just talked about the fact, he said, you know, the problem you have if you're Portugal at this stage is he is Portugal, right? He is mm-hmm. Portugal. So if you try to bring him off the bench, you're alienating the crowd in the stadium for sure. Not to mention what it's what it means around Portugal. If you try to do what's best for Ronaldo, you're not doing what's best for the team. If you try to do what's best for the team, you're going to take. He just said it's just a very difficult position to be in right now. But he did acknowledge. He said, he can still really play. It's just the problem is you can't. It's hard to act like this is a 34-year-old Ronaldo or 33-year-old Ronaldo. It's Messi is still scoring the same way he always has, but it's different. It's just different for Portugal. It's kind of a no.
Well, let me just say
no
this
win situation.
That, you're bringing up a really really good point. First of all, because he's the number, like I said the other day, and it's true. If he ran for president of Portugal, he'd win.
Right.
Okay, and anybody who goes to Portugal sees Ronaldo everywhere. Part of the job of a coach is to make sure you have public sentiment behind you, right? Can you imagine being the coach who's going to sever ties with Ronaldo at this point, no matter what? The other interesting thing is the coach is Roberto Martinez. Ronaldo plays for Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia. Right now, it's not confirmed, but there is negotiation with Roberto Martinez to be the coach of Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia. Okay? So that adds a little bit of a different perspective to the whole thing, right? So you have to factor in these things. A lot of times we don't know a lot about this. As for the free kick, I was on air on that, and I said before he took it, I said, this actually sets up where this ball is placed in relation to the wall and the goal, that this sets up better for a left-footed player. I don't know if this was about being unselfish. I think this was more about being a smarter soccer person. The angle he would have had shooting that, taking that free kick wasn't good. It was better for Nuno Mendes with a left foot. So I just said on the air before it, I said, don't be surprised if Nuno Mendes hits this. And, of course, he does. He buries it into the corner because of where the ball was in relation to the goal. So, anyway, it was a dramatic day. I'm glad you were out there, Lance. It was a lot of fun. The environment was incredible again, and Houston's really living large right now in its presentation of its games out at Houston Stadium.
Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Anything else from you got the draw, England and Ghana draw, a scoreless
draw?
Yeah,
in this world of sports, and you guys know this as much as I do, we take the temperature sometimes way too fast on everything, right? And it's whatever happens on the day. So England comes out, plays great attacking soccer. Everybody, it's incredible. It's great. What a performance. Who needs Cole Palmer? Who needs Phil Foden? Well, now they draw with Ghana, and it's, why didn't Phil Foden and Cole Palmer get picked? Tuchel blew it, So the temperature goes by the game. I think it was disappointing for England, but again, I think it's showing that there are a lot of teams that are still defending deep in low blocks. They're successful. It's their way of bridging the talent gap. And you're going to continue to see that as the tournament goes on, and you will see somebody, a big team, get knocked out because of that.
Croatia and Ghana is going to be big on Saturday. There is a developing situation with Algeria and Austria, Glenn, that game on Saturday, that match on Saturday, the winner actually loses. The winner is probably going to get Spain, and the loser is going to have an easier draw. And so how do you – this has happened. It's not like this has happened the first time, but that is interesting to see if you don't win by losing in that match.
Yeah, that may be one of the things that nobody knew about going into a 48-team tournament. I wasn't aware of that, so thanks for telling me about that. Because now you're straddling the line of tournament navigation and integrity to the game. So yeah. I don't really have a lot more to say on that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. If you know, hey, let's.
I mean,
try
I mean, if you don't put an effort in, it's almost like you're fixing a game. I mean,
yeah, right. So, yeah, you've got that to watch for. That'll be Saturday night at 7. So you got that to, at 9.
Right.
You got that to look forward to.
You got
to.
Mexico's going today. I want to ask you about the U.S. They want to win, obviously. They're already in. They're going to be, we would assume they're going to be careful. We talked about this with anyone with yellow cards. And so, but the team is still a talented team. They still got some pretty good depth. How likely is it that they go 9 points for 9 points, and how much of tomorrow is about just putting on a good show, keeping everyone healthy, and how much is about trying to go out there and get what some would say is a meaningless win? But I think all things considered, taking 9 points right off the bat and continuing a good run, all of that just builds momentum for your sport in the country.
Yeah, I think that's the attitude Mauricio Pochettino has. He doesn't like to lose, and he's going to demand that you get a result against Turkey and you get a result with some players that haven't had a lot of opportunity to play. It's an opportunity to get their feet wet into the swimming pool and to be feeling good about the tournament. You expand that part of it. But they're going out to win. It'll be interesting to see what Turkey has, because this has been a national catastrophe for them, the fact that they came here and failed in their first two games. So, I'm 100%, I feel very strongly that Mauricio Pochettino does not want to take the foot off the pedal no matter who plays. And it's, I agree, important to get a result. Look, if you were to play reserves and you have a poor game and you lose 3-0, it's a bit of a buzzkill, right? In a big way. And this is a lot about maintaining momentum and maintaining interest, excitement. I mean, we have this incredible support now coming from the U.S. People are feeling very prideful about the team, the players, what they represent, how they're going about their business, both on and off the field, and the focus and intensity on the competition and not other things. So, you want to keep that going.
I haven't asked you this. I don't know if those guys did while I was off the couple of days, but I know you love the game and you're a big protector of the game. What's your thoughts on the hydration break?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them. I even heard an announcer say yesterday, we're coming back for the last quarter, and that really resonated in my brain while I was watching that game. No, it changes the game. It changes the way managers have to look at the game. We've all seen really clear examples of a team with tremendous momentum. You hit hydration break, and all of a sudden it flips. We saw that in the Netherlands-Sweden game. But that's happened a number of times, that when the hydration break comes, it's an opportunity to reboot teams, get teams refocused, collect themselves, coaches talk to people, players are interacting. So I'm not a fan of it, because the sport is a free-flowing sport, and what we don't want to do to it, in my opinion, is do things that now stop and start the game. It's a game of rhythm and tempo. And it's a game of improvisation. And you add these things, and you're now really going after the integrity of the sport.
Yeah, they get – but, John, you haven't been to a match. I don't know if you can tell on TV. They boo like crazy. Every hydration break.
Yeah, everybody's booing.
In every stadium, massive booing every time it goes to a hydration break.
Yeah, I can see that. And is this something that has been around a while? You cover your mouth and you get a red card?
What, so you can't slurs on people?
That's a new one. I think the only person that got caught doing it is Miguel Almiron of Paraguay.
What's the reasoning behind that?
Slurs?
I think it's saying things that are not good to say, and I think he just made a mistake. He probably didn't remember the rule was there, and he just put his hand up. I mean, you don't assume that just because somebody's putting a hand to mouth means they're doing something nasty and bad.
Right.
They might be trying to say something about tactics or whatever.
Right. So, yeah, if he's talking to his own guys, I mean, but whatever. How much, well, you played in a different time, and I'm sure you heard a lot of things on the pitch that you were just like, wow, that's pretty ugly to say.
Oh, believe me, it was a much different time.
Yes, much different time. But
believe me, it was a much different time.
Is there a lot of trash talking on the pitch?
There's some, for sure. For sure. There's a lot of individual matchups, you know, and the later you get in games and your brain is, you know, you're fighting your mental side of the sport. And yeah, there I think there's some of it, and a lot of it happens between defenders and attackers. But, you know, it's just natural in sports. It's competition. People have emotions. You can control them sometimes. Sometimes you can't. It's natural.
Yeah. I mean, is it like Bird or Jordan? You can't cover me. You can't check me.
Yeah, there's some of that stuff, sure.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Sure, you know, sure. Guys, but remember, you don't have timeouts, so you can't spend too much time doing that stuff. You have to be focused on what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're marking a center forward, sometimes there's conversation between the two.
What are you looking for today? We've got Bosnia Herzegovina against Qatar. We got Switzerland, Canada, Morocco, Haiti, Scotland, Brazil, Czechia, Mexico, and South Africa, South Korea. Six games today, not just four.
Yeah, Switzerland, Canada, that's to win Group B. Bosnia Herzegovina, I mean, it's basically win or go home. Scotland, Brazil, that's got history to it from past World Cups. The Scots are one of the stories off the field for drinking all the beer in America, but the other part of it is that they had a period against Morocco where they had Morocco reeling and actually talking to themselves. Morocco, Haiti, Morocco can win the group. Czech Republic, Mexico. Mexico has not been impressive. Let's see if they play some good football in this final match here against the Czech Republic. There is a rumor that Memo Ochoa might play, which I think is the stupidest thing you could possibly do because they're trying to get him some kind of award from FIFA for playing in a certain amount of World Cups. Why would you do that after goalkeeping has been an issue with your team?
Yeah.
And your goalkeeper, Ron Hell, made a huge, huge save at the end of the last game. You would just wrap your arms around Ron Hell and say, you're our guy, you know? Why would you do that to satisfy somebody's personal stuff? And I hope that doesn't happen. I really hope that.
By the way, John, Memo Ochoa is the kicker who was at the Texans facility who made that 60-yard field goal. It was Memo Ochoa.
I mean, it was effortless.
Yeah, the goalkeeper just.
Well, he was in his time a great goalkeeper. But you're trying to win the tournament here. You're not satisfying individuals, I don't think. I really hope that doesn't happen. But if it does happen, it is a little testament to where Mexico is now. It always seems very political around that team. Every one of these national teams has politics. But boy, in Mexico, it just seems to be everywhere. And I don't think they've played very well in the first two games outside of defending. I think they've defended well. But let's see what they have in attack in this game. South Africa, South Korea. South Korea can advance with a draw there. So, yeah, big day. Big day.
Yeah. Yep. Now we start to get, this is the third.
We're getting into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. The third and final round of the group play, and let's go. U.S. tomorrow, a late game tomorrow night. So we are looking forward to that, and we will talk to you about that tomorrow, Glenn, right here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Glenn Davis, every morning right here on ESPN 97.5 at 8 a.m. Great stuff again. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Guys, thanks so much as always, and I'm really enjoying speaking to you guys in the morning. It's a lot of fun, and I hope those that are really heavily into the World Cup are enjoying it too.
Yep, I think they are. We're getting some great response. Great response. Glenn Davis, every morning, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Taking a break. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. John and Lance along with Dell. We talked good stuff with Glenn, as always. We talked about NBA draft. Had some of that. We talked about the Astros. By the way, Jeremy Pena pinch hit yesterday and hit a grounder to beat out a double play. Couldn't beat it up, but man, he had to run down. So
must be okay. He's fine. Yeah, it must be okay.
Yeah, he looked good. Looked good. He running down the line as hard as he could. We talked about a lot of soccer on the show this morning. Cristiano Ronaldo, greatest player ever, and he proved it yesterday. So there is that. We talked hockey with the Dan Friedkin. It looks like he is the guy that is going to bring hockey to Texas. Not sure if it's going to be Austin or Houston, but Houston is the favorite. Houston is the big favorite. We haven't talked about Becky Hammon yet.
Yeah. Well, we did when it was happening. Becky Hammon obviously famously said, little guys can't win championships.
Can't win the championship.
Yeah, like little you can't win with little guy being the best player on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was obviously wrong. And I don't know that did she admit it so much?
She said a couple things, saying
not sure this is exactly that she's actually contrite. She didn't say she was wrong.
Initially, she said he is an outlier. He beat the odds like Steph and Isaiah. Pretty much said NBA history says it's very hard to do. He did it. Congratulations to him. But I'm not going to apologize for an opinion. That's what ESPN pays me for, to have an opinion.
But it's not really – is it an opinion?
She had an opinion that he could not win. Her opinion was he couldn't win.
Well, your opinion is wrong.
Right. Yeah. But she said she's not apologizing.
She's not going to apologize for her opinion. Oh, yeah.
They asked if she would apologize. She didn't say. Now, I don't know that she's even saying she's wrong. She called him basically an outlier.
And she had another media availability yesterday, and before really any question got asked, here's what she said.
All right, we'll start with some questions in the room, and then we'll head to Zoom if we have some time.
I have a comment.
Oh.
To start. I was wrong. I was wrong. My opinion was wrong. Okay, let's go.
Is that really her?
Yes. She had heard, I guess, that she wasn't contrite enough for people, so she gave them that.
Well, she didn't say I was wrong. She said he's an outlier.
That's what I'm saying. She had heard that she hadn't been sorry enough for her opinion, so she hit everyone with that, and then she allowed people to ask her questions. Guys, is this what you want? I'll give it to you. Can we move on?
Yeah. Right. And, you know, she was wrong. You know, sometimes opinions are wrong, and she was wrong. So
it does seem like she's, like, trying to avoid it some, though. It's okay to say, I missed on that one. I mean, it's okay to say that. It does seem like she's kind of fighting against that a little bit. But realistically, she's right. But historically, she's going to be right many more times than she's wrong. And it also took unbelievable comebacks. Two unbelievable. I mean, they were down double digits if they had a team with a little bit more age and experience, the Knicks may go out in five. So, but she was wrong. It ended up being wrong, but I don't think the sentiment is wrong.
But she's never going to apologize.
No, she's never going to apologize.
She
shouldn't have to apologize for having an opinion.
Yeah. She was asked a question. She got it wrong. It's fine. We get stuff wrong.
Yeah.
It happens.
It absolutely happens. And then you had quite the controversy in the Ghana-England game where Ghana was on a break and it was a clear foul in the box, which should have resulted in a penalty kick, and nothing. I mean, somebody tweeted, Messi, I've seen a lot less with Messi, and he gets the call, no call for Ghana. Well, their manager had this to say about the no call.
So his name is Carlos Queiroz. He is of Portuguese descent, but he is managing Ghana. And yeah, he had some thoughts.
I'm not sure VAR is still working in the World Cup. They still have VAR. It's working. I have some doubts about that because another penalty that they need to give to Ghana, clear penalty. VAR went for a coffee, and it's natural. I would like the man also take my coffees once in a while. But it was a clear penalty. Clear penalty, red card. You have any doubts about that? You guys that you saw the game, have any doubts about that? Or is it only me that I was in the game? Sorry for my sarcasm, but if I say these kind of things serious, they punish me. So I hope you understand that I'm joking.
What so was all that, Cal?
VAR went for a coffee.
He said, did VAR go for a coffee? Yeah. He goes, I get it. I like to go for a coffee, too, sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, that's a penalty. Ghana should have got a penalty, and I have to say it in this tone, because if I say it in a serious tone, they'll find me.
I am joking.
I'm joking.
You joke. You joke.
Hey, I'm just kidding, guys. I don't want to get fined.
Well, guess what? You're still going
to. I don't know how FIFA hands out their fines.
I don't. Listen, that is as politically correct as a coach could be when he gets screwed on a call.
Yeah.
VAR went for a coffee. I like to go for a coffee, too.
Yeah, I get it. He said, I got it. I mean, everyone likes to go for a coffee break.
Yeah, it was obvious.
Yeah, I watched it and thought, what are we doing? That's a penalty, right? That's and they didn't even go to review. I thought the referee should have called the penalty, but okay, you're behind the play. You don't want to make a call like that. Let's VAR intervenes, of course, with all sides. They now can intervene whether a player simulates contact. They can give them a yellow. That happened in the U.S. game against Paraguay where one of our players got a yellow, and then it turns out, nope, no yellow for you, yellow for the Paraguayan player for simulating contact. VAR supposed to make that decision. And all VAR does, actually, they don't even make the decision. They say, hey, you might want to take a look at it. And then the ref goes over and makes a decision consulting with VAR. So they don't even have to be the final judgment. Just stop the play. Say, hey, man, you need to take a look at this. They didn't even do that. And Ghana could have, if they convert, would have won that match and top the group. Instead, they have to go into their final group stage game. They're in a good spot, but they have to go in the final group stage looking to get a result, tie or win to advance. They're currently tied with England on points, but England has the goal advantage. They scored more goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they maybe should have lost that game.
The penalty goes in, they would have lost that game if it Absolutely. Was called.
Couldn't score.
Yeah, the Ghanaian witch doctor who cursed Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Harry Kane miss that?
He took the curse off.
Yeah, well, the match is over. He didn't want to curse Harry Kane for life.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Kane could have been cursed for life.
He just, and Harry Kane missed the big opportunity
late
in the game.
Very responsible by that Ghanaian witch doctor to take it off.
Harry Kane was about 6 yards away from putting one in. That would have given England the lead late.
And he just airmailed it.
Yeah, so the Ghanaian witch doctor. Did what he needed to do. Shout out to him.
Shout out to the witch doctor.
Yeah, witch doctor helps your team. I mean, that witch doctor.
England doesn't like playing the African teams. They just, for whatever reason, they get, it's too physical for them. They're athletic and beat them down the wings. It's just not a, it's just, they don't match up well at all. And they knew, my guy was watching with, he's an England fan, the guy who invited me to the event, Chris Harris, he said, he was really worried about that match. I said, we got to get out of here so you can go watch your match. He goes, I just don't. This is really going to be a hard one for us. This is not the type of match we do well in at all. He was right. They didn't.
Neither is the U.S. against Ghana.
They didn't look good.
We don't like them.
Yeah, we got Ghana in 2014, though.
Yeah.
The last time we faced them in a big match.
We got them.
But we figured Ghana out eventually. We finally got them. And
Ghana don't want any piece of us. They pray they don't see the U.S.
They don't want
no
part of us, John.
Right now, everyone's praying they don't see us, except maybe the Netherlands. They've got our number.
Well, the Dutch are better than us.
Yeah, they're a little better than us. But pretty much everyone else, Spain, Portugal, they don't want to see the U.S.
I don't know about Spain.
Mexico. Pray you don't see SL3.
I'm not afraid of Mexico.
Pray you don't see SL3.
Yeah. A home game in this country in a knockout round stage? We beat you in South Korea. We'll beat you here, too.
A home game is Mexico. What are you talking about?
Not if it's in Seattle.
I'll bet you the Mexicans are over 50% in Seattle.
No chance. That's why they put the games up there. No.
You can try all you want. They're getting there.
Stop it. I have watched U.S. qualifying for years.
That's true, you have.
They don't play Mexico
in
the southern states for a reason.
I'll believe it when I see it that a U.S. team, that a fan base can measure more than 50% of the home match.
It's happened already. It's just that you didn't see
it. On a World Cup stage?
Well, they've never played each other.
Well,
in this country in the World Cup stage. But, of course, FIFA controls all this, not the U.S. Soccer Federation. So I don't know if they saw each other where it would be. That's already set in stone as far as the locations. But the U.S., in their history, when they came to the realization that, hey, yeah, we can make a lot of money putting a game in the Rose Bowl against Mexico, but we're outnumbered 8-2, 9-1. Let's move it to a spot where there's a less – Mexican-centric population.
Can't be here.
So we put in Columbus.
Can't be here.
That's why they put those games in Columbus and Massachusetts, because they had an advantage there. FIFA will be setting the sights if they happen to meet. But yeah, well, there have been times when the U.S. outnumbered Mexico. Not anywhere south of Kansas City, though.
So you're saying it's too hard to travel that far north?
No, I'm just saying
it's tougher.
It's a longer travel.
And you'd like them going up against Ohio State fans, too, because that's just a little bit more intimidating.
You know what? Mexican fans, and rightfully so, ain't looking to spend time in Columbus in December.
Antifa could make a trip over to Seattle and maybe get ready to brawl in the streets.
Antifa.
I'm just saying it's a little trip from Portland, but not terrible. We just got some, you know, if they want to try to turn this into some kind of, you know, an intimidating factor. First of all, you don't want to see Ohio State fans. Now, I don't know how many Ohio State fans are soccer fans, but just Ohio State fans in general are always ready to throw
terrible
hands.
People.
So maybe you think, I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah.
If the Rockets ever play the Knicks in the finals, I go, I'm going to be very cool. I'm just going to watch very stoically.
Just have it in Long Island. And trust me, they'll catch it. The Mexican team will catch it because
in Long Island
up there. All right.
In Long Island?
Is there a soccer
just golf fans up there
stadium where
and,
we can play and a
Knicks
match?
Fans
there.
Will go and Knicks fans
those
will go
fans
too.
Will get beat up. I'm not letting Long Island fans try to they'll just talk real loud and then get their asses kicked.
Well, they
Long Island. No.
Wyndham Clark had some thoughts on Long Island fan. We'll hear that on the other side. But right now, we're talking about the Golden Nugget Lake.
Stop
Charles.
Being a villain then, Wyndham.
We're talking about 2 hours, just over 2 hours down the road. So easy to get to. All right, what does a plane ticket cost to go to Vegas? And you, and if you're bringing your wife, or you want to bring your kids, you can bring them too. And what does that cost with the 2, 3, 4 plane tickets, as opposed to just getting in the car and driving 2 hours, as opposed to coming back to it? It's basically a tank of gas. That's all it takes, okay, versus the flight. Versus going early to the airport. By the time you get to the airport and you're sitting waiting for your flight, you're already on the tables at Lake Charles. And it's a Vegas-style casino, just wonderful. Hotel is fantastic. All the amenities, 12 restaurants. You got the concert hall where you can see comedians or concerts. Check out GoldenNuggetLC.com and look at the schedule of all of the concerts and comedians that they've got coming. You got nightclub. You got everything. You got a pool. The kids can be at the pool all day. If mom doesn't like to gamble, she can be there as well. You can get a cabana. You want to play golf with the kids, they could do that as well. There's a great golf course. All of it. Everything. I mean, so much easier. So much better. You can do a day trip or just one overnight where you can't do that in Vegas. You got to stay multiple days. Otherwise, it's not worth it. It's all at GoldenNuggetLC.com. You're looking for a great little getaway. You get your gamble on. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Next.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 703-780-3776. I mean, real quickly, there's talk about, it is going to be, the PGA is going to be, I think in 30, is going to be at Bethpage Black, which is, and Long Island as well. And, you know, Shinnecock was at Long Island, and the fans there are just the worst. It's the worst. It is, but they turned on their own, I mean, mercilessly. I've seen multiple guys talking about, Scottie Scheffler talked about it, Ryan Fox talked about it. They were like, I couldn't believe how they, Wyndham Clark, there was no applause when he made a putt, just jeers and applause when he missed greens. And he was on, Wyndham Clark was on with Dan Patrick yesterday and listened to the exchange about the fans in New York.
How did you use the crowd to your advantage over the weekend?
Well, a lot of times, you know, they're rooting for you and you build off the momentum. This time there wasn't much momentum. But it definitely it made me kind of gear down and use the negative things that people are saying to fuel the fire that's, you know, within inside me, and that's kind of exactly what happened. Anytime I heard something negative, I replaced it with something positive, and I just loved when I made a putt or hit a good shot, and I could see, you know, I'd look around and see people kind of like, ah, damn it, he keeps hitting good shots or keeps pulling it off. And I love that. It kind of gave me a little internal smile and kind of the confidence, cockiness that helped me get the W.
But when did you realize maybe they weren't rooting for you, they're actually rooting against you?
I mean, I knew on Saturday. I mean, I'd miss a putt and people'd start cheering. And then Sunday was honestly wild. You know, I missed the putt on the first hole for birdie and people cheered. I hit it over the green on two. People cheered. On the fourth hole, I hit a horrendous shot right, and people were cheering and saying, don't choke, etc. And so I was like, whoa, this is a hostile environment. So the nice thing is it happened early, so I was able – and I kind of prepared myself for it. So it wasn't like a complete shock, but I was surprised that it was hostile.
There's something to that. He was at 8-under on Saturday going into 18, and the next closest was 1-under. He had a 7-stroke lead. And if you want to know the truth, I was kind of hoping that he would come back to the pack. And I think there might have been some of that we wanted to see a good match. But he's also the guy that tore up Oakmont, the clubhouse at Oakmont. And I don't know how much played into it. But I do think that people wanted to see a good tournament as opposed to just a blowout, him running away from it. He bogeyed 18 on Saturday to make it 7, and then he bogeyed every other hole. I mean, he was 4 over on 8 holes, starting with 18 on Saturday. So there was something, too. I think people wanted to see a good match. Sam Burns made it a decent match, but then he ended up bogeying a hole late, which really hurt him. But it was that was some of that. But there is talk about not going to, because the golf fans there are just the worst. There's talk about Bethpage and Shinnecock. They're not good venues. They're not good U.S. Open venues or major venues because of the a-holes, because the a-holes that New Yorkers are.
Oh, really? It's the people. It has nothing to do with course.
No, it's the people. It's all about the people.
Right.
And their behavior.
But they'll keep going to the waste management?
The waste management is a different story. You know what you and it's
the players don't love that exactly.
Well, a lot of players do love it.
Some do. A lot of them don't, though. A lot of them have come out. They've also taken a lot of – last year was way different. They actually tightened it up.
Yeah, they did tighten it up. I mean, it's a drunken, and you know, the cheering, a lot of the players are going, come on, you know, when they get to 16, come on. I want to hear it. I want to hear it, you know, because there it's like nothing else on the tour.
They cheered. They just can't stay out of the sand traps. Like, can you please get off of our course, sir?
Well, they fall into them because of their drunkenness. I get that. I get, yeah. I mean, it is. It's just a, it is. It's the animal house of the PGA
Tour.
What
would Dick Harmon have thought about the waste management tournament?
I think, you know, it was, I think it would be, you know, he, oh,
he would hate it more than anything he's ever
but
seen.
But he would hate, I think he would hate what happened at Shinnecock even more.
He would not like that. He would hate. Because he actually, didn't he kind of think it was funny when people were heckling Colin Montgomery back in the day?
Yeah, but see, you're heckling one of your very own. And the vitriol, and the it's a gentleman's game. And to be cheering when somebody, he used to laugh at, you know, when they called Colin Montgomery fat, you know, right. Mrs. Doubtfire.
But Phoenix is the epitome of what exactly a gentleman's game is not.
Right, right. But it's one, it's it, but you know what you're getting into. And you don't have to go if you don't like it. You don't have to, but guys go. The best players in the world go. But you know what you're getting into there. You should be just playing the golf course when you're at U.S. Open. You should be playing the field and the golf course, and those fans make it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see whether or not the PGA responds, because there are a lot of people calling for. There was one guy on the Golf Channel that was just like, we got to stop going to Long Island. It's terrible. It's a terrible place to have a huge venue event. Just a terrible place. We'll see. We'll see if they do. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on that or anything else? I know it's golf. I know it's golf, and everybody should be clamoring right now. Do we have more events in Long Island or not? Should we do a poll?
Who are we
polling? I think we can run the show out on that shot clock this for the next hour and 13
you
minutes.
Just
if you want
to get calls and texts and tweets about should golf exist on Long Island going forward?
Should golf exist?
I would ask that question, but since it's not going anywhere, should golf be played in a professional manner on Long Island?
On Long Island. Or no?
Yes or no?
713-780-3776. Should you powder coat whatever metal you have? The answer is yes. Should you use Houston powder coaters? The answer is yes. The answer is in the perfection that is what Houston powder coaters does. The primping and the priming is, you know, it's fantastic. I've seen it. Been there, seen it. It is not just let's throw it in the oven, and they get every piece of metal ready. They're persnickety about making sure that everything is perfectly done. And with your patio furniture, not only the metal, but they can help. They can fix the straps and the slings and everything else. They can absolutely take care of that for you. So you want to preserve, and especially if it's older stuff that maybe your mom and dad had or your grandma had. I mean, and first of all, that metal is better. Secondly, it's got a sentimental value to it. But you want to make it so that it's not falling apart, so that it's not rusting out. You want to make it so that Houston Powder Coaters can preserve it for you and preserve it for, I don't know how. Listen, you are looking for the best way to get something. Absolutely free pickup and delivery. Houston Powder Coaters will get it done, make it look great. You got something metal that you want to save, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You want to get in here with us? So come on, 713-780-3776.
Hey, let's get back to the Astros for a second. I mean, they're still kind of just piecemealing things together from a pitching standpoint here and there. Sometimes you have really good performances from the bullpen, from the starters. And we see that. It's not been consistent. You don't really have a four-game run where you have consistent pitching. That doesn't really exist this year in this dojo. But I do like the fact that they have enough offense at times. Obviously, it falls asleep at times. But then yesterday was one of those examples how there's a little bit of scrap. There's a little scrap there offensively where they've got enough there that they can throw together that back-to-back-to-back shot. You've got Loperfido scoring, tying it up late. You've got enough offensively where it's not like it doesn't exist. You can get into a little bit. We've seen them do this year where they can get into a little bit of a shootout if they need to. It's not the norm. They're not one of the better offensive teams. But what I really loved yesterday is that they were getting ready to slide to seven games back, and it's like this same yo-yo thing is just getting tired. It's the same, five games and then eight games back under 500, obviously not behind the Mariners, but five games, eight games, seven games, six games. Like, if they can get to three games under 500, that will feel like, okay, this is literally game time with a chance to win. They're not going anywhere this year deep into any kind of playoffs, but they're in a playoff run, obviously, in the division if they can win the division. And it just feels like they just need one push. If they just get one push, John, over the hill into that next tier with the Mariners, where they're sitting there two or three games behind, it really feels like anything's possible in the division at least. But they have to get over this crap where they can't get over five games under 500.
Well,
they have to get past this.
I think winning three straight series is a start. You've got
– oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, you're tied in this series, and you got Burrows against your Savage today. Not a great matchup.
No.
Not a great matchup,
but maybe
matchup,
you use Burrows
say.
As just an opener. Maybe throw to two batters and then get him out.
Well, I don't know if he's going to throw to two batters and then go to the bullpen. Actually, their bullpen is wasted after the last couple of days. So they had to use Van Wy for two innings in a tie game in Toronto in extra. And this guy just was in the minors, and they bring him up and said, okay, two innings here in a tie game in Toronto. Go get it, because we ain't got anybody else. So, today it would be nice if Burrows could go five. It would be nice if he doesn't give up, a ton, his usual five or six runs. And he's facing
what would you like to
Savage
order today, Mr. Burrows? Just give me the usual, kid. You got it coming up, kid. Coming up, Mr. Burrows. Six hits, five earned runs, and two home runs. Four walks and five strikeouts. Coming right up, Mr. Burrows.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that. Yeah, he's facing Yasavage.
Can you imagine if we treated John's Burrows infatuation like his thing? Where, oh, look at Ronaldo. Score two goals, go wrong you were. We have a season-long example of how ridiculous you were about a certain player.
Well,
Mike
how
Burrows
about you?
Is terrible.
Jason Alexander can't even get up to the bigs.
A great start, and he had a great season last year. Something Mike Burrows can't
he's
say.
He's not killing
as an
the
Astro.
Jason Alexander's not killing us.
Just going to take Mike is young guy. Going to take a little time.
Wow, that's not what you were saying before.
That's it.
That's not what you were saying before.
You watch. He's going to be a great Astros pitcher, and everybody's going to go, boy, that start. But they
were
patient with him.
I'm not listening to you.
We're not listening to you. He's got no stuff.
His only ability is he's actually available.
No. his biggest inability is his availability.
Yeah, in fact, we'd actually,
I didn't even know that was a saying.
You know what, Mike? The fact that you're durable, I'm not a fan of, honestly.
It's killing us.
Yeah, it's killing us that you're durable.
They need to come up with one of those arm injuries for him where they just say, you know what, we need to rest your arm. Your arm seems tired.
It's fatigue.
I actually feel really good. Yeah. The spin rate, the velocity just doesn't look. Let's skip you. Why would they not be skipping him in the rotation a couple times?
It's interesting.
Like, serious question.
This Brian Abreu thing is interesting.
Oh, yeah. He is away from the team.
He was at the ballpark yesterday.
Is there something going on with
Which
him?
Which ballpark? Toronto?
No.
Oh, Daikin?
Houston.
Oh.
So it's like.
Oh, is it physical?
Well, they said he had something family, which you're able to put him on the reserve, and he doesn't count against the 26.
That's tough.
Yeah. So I don't know what he's got going on, But it might. I don't know if it maybe. Maybe he couldn't go to Canada. I don't know. Maybe that's it. And with some visa problems or whatever the case may be.
Well, visa but problems.
Maybe that's it.
I thought they said. I thought it was family.
Yeah, but maybe. Well, okay.
They, well, I mean, that's not.
You don't think they ever lie about why they put guys on?
Well, a visa problem is pretty specific. He's played in Toronto before.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did he do that they said he's on a no-fly
again,
zone?
Who knows why? Who knows why, but he was at the facility yesterday.
Well, it could be he does have a family. Like, that's a more concerning. That's a little more concerning for me because he may be going through something personal that is having an impact on his season as well.
Yep, yep.
And personally.
Right, right, right. And it could be something else. Who knows? Who knows? But they put him on the reserve, and he is, you know, at a pretty interesting time, you know, when he sucks. So,
well, he did it with the MI. Do we really believe his arm was tired?
Yeah, my arm's tired. Okay, we'll go throw down in the minor leagues. Okay.
Yeah, well, I thought your arm was tired. Why are you throwing? Right. Well, I'm tired. His arm's tired of throwing on the major league level.
There's a lot of times these guys hit these different lists.
And there's some, and you question.
Because of suck.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Abreu. Hopefully everything's okay.
Hopefully. I would prefer that they put him on the list for suck.
Yeah,
a personal problem.
Yeah, I don't want him to have anything affecting his life. Hey, we know he's pitching poorly. You can put him on the list for not being good at baseball right now.
Well, I don't think you can put him on that list.
Is there a list not good at baseball?
No.
Yeah, they're just called don't play him. What is the deal with the Astros playing guys who can't pitch
you
good?
You need an arm in a bullpen.
No,
you can't just
you
not
don't
play
need
him.
To continue to get down five runs. Mike Burrows is terrible. Stop putting terrible guys on the team. Bring up a minor leaguer. Stop pitching a terrible guy. Well, what's hard about this? If you knew that you were going to eat something that caused your face to break out in a rash, you wouldn't do it.
How good does it taste?
But this doesn't. This tastes terrible.
I know.
Mike Burrows tastes terrible, and all you're going to do is you know that your throat's going to close up, and you're going to have to get your EpiPen out in the fourth inning or third inning and jam it into your heart, an adrenaline shot just to keep you alive. So hopefully Joey Loperfido can perform some magic, or Yordan. Stop getting beat twice. Yeah, it wasn't a good signing. Stop getting beat on the field too. Don't pitch bad players. I'm looking at this. You know what? Bad at balls. It's kind of crazy. There's only one thing I can find that's way off for him over the last, you know, Houston compared to Pittsburgh the last 2 years. His exit velo is 88 miles an hour. Last year is 89. The year before is 90. So it's not that. When you look at pitch type and velocity, it's... You know, with the Astros, he's throwing less fastballs than ever before, 28.7% fastballs. Maybe he needs to go to more fastballs. The year before is 39%. The year before that, 54%. But his velocity, 95 miles an hour. It's normal. His sliders, he throws more sliders here, or sinkers, I should say. His slider count, sinker count is, you know, the speed. He's actually throwing a slider a little bit harder than he did the previous 2 years. The only thing that I can find different is his arm angle. For some reason, his arm angle is a lot lower with the Astros than it was with the Pirates. And I think I've just found the problem. Arm angle.
You gonna fix it?
Yeah, I think I found. I'm not gonna fix it, but I just found it.
Do you think that they have video?
Yeah, no? They've got FanGraphs. FanGraphs says it was 51 in 24. It was 48 in 25. This year it's 38. His arm angle, which is for his fastball, his slider or his sinker arm angle. Is much lower. His slider arm angle is much lower. I mean, I don't know. This is their job. They get paid to be pitching coaches. Yeah, but it's really the only thing I can find that looks different than the last 2 years.
Seems like they would know something like that.
Well, then he must just suck then.
Well, that's really
if
possible.
They can't fix it, maybe it's just time to pull him out of the rotation.
It's just suck.
Well, if they can't fix something, if they can't find it and fix it, then get him out of the rotation and see if there's somebody who can do it.
Well,
better.
I thought he was when he was relieving the other day, and then all of a sudden he's back in the rotation.
His fastball has been his biggest issue. It's been terrible. It's not been effective.
And he doesn't throw
it
that. He only throws it 28% of the time.
There's a reason it gets hit hard.
Yeah. Stop throwing. 28 is too much.
Yeah. Knock it off, Burrows. Yeah. Drop that percentage down.
2%.
You know he throws his change almost as much as his fastball? He throws his changeup almost as much as
well. That's good. That's good.
This dates back to June 7th, but opponents entering that Sunday were batting 309 and slugging over 700 against his fastball, his four-seamer.
Spin rate is the same as it's been. Spin rate's no different.
No,
actually, his spin rate is no different.
All right, we got a break, okay? 713-780-3776. Our final hour of the show next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.